Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you back to another important episode of The New World Next Week. Of course, you can find everything at NewWorldNextWeek.com. And as always, thanks to outlets like ParadigmShift.tv and the Next News Network for helping spread the word about New World Next Week. James, this week's episode will sort of go from most negative to most positive as we go through our stories this week. And we'll begin with one that I have posted to my own foodworldorder.com site, and it comes via Reuters. And this was one, James, that I had thought about and you had thought about days before. I had people send it to me, and we were both kind of on the same page about wanting to mention this story before something like this kind of goes down the memory hole and is forgotten. Evidence grows for narcolepsy link to GlaxoSmithKline's swine flu shot. 800 children in Sweden and elsewhere in Europe who developed narcolepsy, an incurable sleep disorder, after being immunized with the Pandemrix H1N1 swine flu vaccine made by British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, back in 2009. Finland, Norway, Ireland, and France have also seen spikes in narcolepsy cases too, and people familiar with the results of a soon-to-be-published study in Britain have told Reuters it'll show similar pattern in children there. Their fate, coping with an illness that all but destroys normal life, is developing into what health officials who coordinated Sweden's vaccination campaign calls a medical tragedy that will demand rising scientific and medical attention. Europe's drug regulator has ruled Pandemrix should no longer be used in people aged under 20. Chief Medical Officer at GSK's Vaccines Division, Norman Begg, says his firm views the issue extremely seriously and is, quote, absolutely committed to getting to the bottom of this, end quote, but adds there's not enough data or evidence to suggest a causal link. Others, including Emmanuel Mignot, one of the world's leading experts on narcolepsy, who's being funded by GlaxoSmithKline to investigate further, agrees more research is needed but says the evidence is already clearly pointing in one direction. Quote, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Pandemrix increased the occurrence of narcolepsy onset in children in some countries and probably in most countries, said Mignot, a specialist in the sleep disorder at Stanford University in the United States. Now, James, again, as I was prepping these articles in our notes for this episode, I saw in the trending topics in the news there breaking news just as a few hours ago today, January 23rd here in the States, scientists to resume work with lab-bred bird flu. Some of you may recall this story. International scientists who last year halted controversial research with the deadly bird flu say they're resuming their work as countries adopt new rules to ensure safety. And the articles go on to the rules, and we should hear from the National Institutes of Health within several weeks. James.
Well, on the swine flu vaccine story, I suppose we can cue the histrionics from the usual gaggle of people who just refuse to hear that there's any possibility that any vaccine could possibly have gone through the approval process and still be harmful to human health, because this is the epitome of science, and that has never harmed anyone in the past. And, of course, they are going to argue against the very precautionary principle that they argue for in the case of climate change, and they're going to say, well, in this case, it's perfectly okay to go ahead, even though there are these serious questions, because there is no 100% proven causal link at this stage. Of course, I think most of the people out there understand that this is an extremely serious issue and that this needs to be seen, gotten to the bottom of, before this Pandemrix is given to any more people. But at the end of the day, ultimately, once again, I think this is about people's personal choice and personal responsibility. So although I actually truly do feel sympathy for the people who are dumb enough to take this themselves, or even worse, give it to their children, I think everyone has to be allowed to have that responsibility to make these choices, as long as it's gone through the proper approval process, as long as I have the choice not to put it in my body. So I think, again, it comes down to a lot of those types of personal choices. And on that note, I believe we have a story about nurses and their ability or inability to refuse the shots.
That's right. Also posted to foodworldorder.com, nurses fired for refusing flu shot. An Indiana hospital fired 8 employees, including 3 veteran nurses over 20 years working at the hospital, after they refused mandatory flu shots, stirring up controversy over which should come first, employee rights or patient safety. Yeah, James, it's really only every few weeks that we hear some story about what did we call it in the art? A medical tragedy. It was only a few weeks ago that we were talking about the steroid shots contaminated with spinal meningitis. Whoops. So we see that these things aren't that rare. It's just rare that they get that much attention. But yes,
and of course, the real answer to the nurse situation is to have patients fully informed whether or not their nurses have taken the shots or not, and the patients can choose if they want to be seen by those types of medical practitioners. That's the real answer that would be the market solution to this question. But of course, let's not talk about the idea of a free market in this type of thing.
In any real form, right? So we'll include all those links. As always, we implore you to go follow these links and check everything out for yourself. So the nurses being fired is the sort of the positive related note on our first stories. Now, James, we move to our second story. It gets even a little more positive. We'll take it from Salon. TSA removing body scanners from airports. The Transportation Security Administration will remove all X-ray body scanners from airports, Bloomberg is reporting. The reason? Software couldn't be developed by a congressionally mandated deadline to automatically detect suspicious items on the body. Instead, TSA officers viewed images of passengers' naked bodies to see if they were carrying weapons or other contraband, a process that privacy advocates have dubbed a virtual strip search. Privacy had not been the only concern dogging the scanners. A ProPublica.org investigation found that the TSA had glossed over the small cancer risk posed by even the low doses of radiation emitted by the X-ray scanners. The stories also showed that the United States was almost alone in the world in X-raying passengers, and that the Food and Drug Administration had gone against its own advisory panel, which recommended the agency set a federal safety standard for security X-rays. In addition, ProPublica reported that outside airports, other security agencies are exposing people to radiation in more settings and in increasing doses. So, James, there is the removal in some ways. However, that doesn't mean you're not going to get it when you go to whatever your big box made in China store, or go to your sports ball arena.
Or try to enter a public courtroom, because I think they have these same systems in a lot of those. So unfortunately, yes, it's not a 100% win in all respects. And really, this is kind of almost like a cop-out, simply because they weren't able to meet a congressionally mandated deadline to get the right software so that it's not quite as pornographic as usual. But at any rate, however this victory is coming, I think most people will take it. And again, very much like the vaccine issue, just as the government should not and ever have the right to force people to take things that are potentially going to kill them, even if it's a 1 in a million chance or 1 in a billion, whatever that risk is, the government cannot force its population to do something like that. And in this case, with the cancer-causing X-ray scanners, of course, they should not be able to force people to do that. Simply for the privilege of riding an airplane. But again, however these X-ray scanners are being removed, at least they're being removed, and this is something of a victory, so let's at least celebrate what we've achieved so far. But of course, that isn't an invitation for people to rest on their laurels. I think this is just an invitation to redouble our efforts to make sure that the TSA ultimately is abolished, and that we go back to something more akin to what we had pre-9/11, and that the security is taken care of once again through market forces, not through a government-imposed agency.
But James, the positivity is spreading, so we can also take it from the CBC. Naked airport scans could undergo revamp in Canada. Canadian airports are still using the so-called naked full-body scan images being removed from airports in the United States because the 3D images are considered too revealing, but that could eventually change, said Canadian Air Transport Security Authority, the CATSA. CATSA is currently testing automated target recognition software on the scanner, he said. So, James, I'll include also a an archive of stories I've posted over the past few years on Media Monarchy concerning the naked body scanners. Are there any sort of related reminders you'd want to throw in?
Not off the top of my head, but I'll let you know, and maybe we'll throw some in the show notes.
Okay. So we mentioned there at the very end, and again, that comes back to the software, the sort of bureaucratic, you know, oh, well, we're getting rid of the scanners because we couldn't come up with this bureaucratic solution by the timetable set, yada, yada. Target recognition software, James. So keeping that in mind, we'll move to our third and final story this week, and we'll take it from the Big Brother Corporation, from the BBC. Privacy visor, blocking facial recognition software, a pair of glasses dubbed a privacy visor, has been developed to thwart hidden cameras using facial recognition software. The prototype spectacles have been designed by scientists at Tokyo's National Institute of Informatics. The glasses are equipped with near-infrared light source, which confuses the software without affecting your vision. Law enforcers, shops, and social networks are increasingly using facial recognition software. Of course, there's the stories about Facebook and all of that. But Professor Iso Ichizin, I may be mangling that and I apologize, said, quote, "As a result of developments in facial recognition technology in Google Images, Facebook, etc., and the popularization of portable terminals that append photos with photographic information, being geotags, essential measures for preventing the invasion of privacy caused by photographs taken in secret and unintentional capture in camera images is now required. The near-infrared light appends noise to photographed images without affecting human visibility." The article goes on to mention some other cheaper alternatives. Anonymous has noted that heavy makeup or certain types of masks and drawing certain lines or even tilting your head at a 15-degree angle could trick it. James?
Interesting. I'll have to give that a try. Well, although I agree that this is a type of positive story, and again, let's take it for the positivity that it is, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I think what we really want is an opt-in privacy system rather than opt-out. So instead of making it default where everyone is scanned all the time, and if you want to opt out, you have to resort to this type of glasses trickery or whatever it is, we should have a system whereby those people who want to be tracked and surveilled and put into this database can opt into that network. But of course, that's not the way the technology is ever presented or rolled out. It is always presented as this 100% wide net, because that's the only way for it to be effective. Effective for what? Effective for putting all the citizens in a database and putting them on the grid? Unfortunately so. So again, this is, I guess, some type of victory, but I know that 99.9999% of the people in this planet are not going to go around wearing these glasses, and I don't think that it's something that we should be forcing on people. I think that really the government should prove to us that they need to be scanning, surveilling, tracking, databasing, cataloging all the movements of all their citizens at all times, and that they are perfectly trustworthy with this information, which of course they won't be able to do, and which of course will never happen unless the people stand up and actually demand something of the sort. So again, it's a victory, but what a victory at what cost? What kind of victory is this at the end of the day?
Yeah, a Pyrrhic victory, they may call it. But I guess I liked the positivity of just that the inventive human spirit is always going to find ways to break down the systems of control, hopefully. And again, now we realize we're doing this while we're, you know, talking to you on Google and all these other kind of platforms to discuss these things. But I think your point is well made, James, that if you want vaccinated, if you want your nurses vaccinated, if you want to be tracked and traced, then you go opt into that. That reminds me, I'll have to include it in the show notes, James. There was an Onion bit a couple of years ago about a sort of Google opt-out system that when you click that button, you're basically picked up and scooped up and taken to some, you know, Patrick McGowan-like prisoner island, and that's your opt-out. And that's the irony, or rather the satire being that, of course, they're laughing at, you know, the only way you're going to be safe is if you or snatched away to some desert island, James.
The saddest part is that it's becoming more true by the day. But anyway, let's keep it on a positive note. I think you're right. The ingenious human spirit will always find a way. All right, excellent. Three great stories. Anything else happening on your side that people should know about?
I have been doing, you know, as I had to kind of quit doing the Media Monarchy podcast, I went to work at Ground Zero. I have been trying to find ways to kind of keep Media Monarchy going. And that, of course, is helped by all the folks who help out on all the sister sites. But I've been recording what I call SoundCloud singles. So if folks want to go to soundcloud.com/Media Monarchy or even just look at the top of the page, I've been recording just little kind of short, you know, freeform thoughts about, you know, the news of the day and some of the things going on. And that has been a fun way to kind of keep going in a way. So yeah, SoundCloud singles from Media Monarchy.
Awesome stuff. Good way of making use of your time. Glad to see that the Media Monarchy flame is still alive. And once again, I hope people are checking out Media Monarchy and the whole kingdom of sites. Anyway, on that note, thank you so much for three more stories. Looking forward to next week.
Thanks so much, man. As always, take care.